We've been surveying the Bible to see what it says about the end of time. We started in the Old Testament by looking at several passages that talk about this subject. Then we moved to the New Testament. And we found in the New Testament even more information about the end of time than we saw in the Old Testament. The New Testament reveals far more about this subject than the Old Testament does. Now, in looking at all of those passages that we've been studying, we've been doing our homework. We have been laying a foundation. We have been providing ourselves with a background so that we can now look at another part of this study about the end of time. What we're going to do right now, beginning in this lesson, is to begin looking at some popular doctrines or ideas about the end of time. And what we want to do is to take these ideas that many people believe and teach today and compare them to the Bible foundation that we have already laid. We want to see if these ideas are actually in the Bible or not. Now, one important thing to remember about many of the false ideas about the end of time that people hold to today is that many of these ideas come from the same root source. Most of the wrong beliefs about the end of time spring from a misunderstanding of one topic in the Bible. And that one topic is the nation of Israel, especially Old Testament Israel. Most of the popular false ideas about the end of time are actually about Israel. And so if we don't understand what the Bible says about Israel, its past, its present, and its future, then we're not going to understand what the Bible says about the end of time. We have to look at what the Bible says concerning what God promised to the nation of Israel, what He did not promise to them, and how those promises were fulfilled. Now, for instance, we're going to begin this study by going back to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And we're going to go a little bit farther in our study of the land promise. Now, we've already looked at what the Bible says and what it does not say about the land that was promised to the Israelite people. We've already looked at the fact that God promised this land to the nation of Israel. There's no question about that. Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 15, and many other passages show that the land of promise, the land of Canaan, was indeed promised to the Israelite nation. But the important thing to remember is that that promise was conditional. It was not an unconditional guarantee that they would have a right to, much less keep that land without any exception or any kind of condition whatsoever. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 28, God told the nation of Israel, before they ever crossed Jordan to take the promised land, that if they kept His word, if they obeyed Him, they could keep the land. But if they didn't keep God's word, then they would not keep the land. So it was up to the people. The promise of the land of Canaan, the great promised land, was a conditional promise. And Deuteronomy chapter 28 plainly shows us that. Now, what we read throughout the Old Testament is the fact that the Israelite people did not keep their word. Their word was, their promise to God was, that whatever God said they would do. That's what they pledged to God at the bottom of Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19. But they went back on their word, and they turned against God. They turned to idols, and they disobeyed God's word. Now, as a result, God took them off of this land. And God, as the Bible had warned in Deuteronomy chapter 28, hundreds of years later, God scattered the Israelite people among all nations. They lost their right to that land. But what we want to do in this lesson is to delve a little bit deeper into the subject of the land promise or the promised land. And we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I want to read Deuteronomy chapter 30 beginning in verse 1. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God has driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Now God had already warned in Deuteronomy chapter 28 that if the Israelite people disobeyed his word, that God would scatter them among all nations. Now God is looking down through the portals of time. He's looking hundreds of years into the future. And he tells these same people that when he has taken them off the land and scattered them among all nations, that if they repent when they're there, that if they see their mistake and they repent and they turn back to him, then here's what God is going to do for them. Verse 3. That then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed. Now that's the promised land. That's the land of Canaan. And thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And so what we find then is that after God said in Deuteronomy chapter 28 that if these people disobeyed him, he was going to take them off the land, he said if you repent in the nation or in the nations where you find yourself and you turn back to God, then God will bring you back to the promised land. Now, one of the questions that people talk about today then is, has this passage been fulfilled? Or is this passage going to be fulfilled sometime in the future? That God is going to gather these Jewish people, these Israelite people, back to the promised land. Now, there are two different ways that we can try to answer this question about whether or not Deuteronomy chapter 30 has been fulfilled or will be fulfilled sometime in the future. Is its fulfillment in the past, or is it sometime in the future? We can either look at that question and speculate about it and guess about it and watch the news and try to figure out what the world events are going to bring about so that we think that Deuteronomy chapter 30 is going to be fulfilled in something that we've watched on the news, especially something we've seen about the Middle East and some kind of conflict. Now, we can do that, or we can listen to what the Bible itself says about this passage, because it just so happens that there is another Bible book that quotes Deuteronomy chapter 30, and it says that that passage in Deuteronomy chapter 30 was fulfilled a long, long time ago. So we have a commentary on Deuteronomy chapter 30. We have an inspired interpretation of the fulfillment of the promise in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And it's found in the book of Nehemiah. So let's turn in our Bible right now to Nehemiah chapter 1. The book of Nehemiah chapter 1 gives an explanation of the fulfillment of the very passage that we were just looking at. Now remember what's taken place by the time that you get to Nehemiah is that Jeremiah has preached to the Jewish people for over 40 years before the Babylonians came and destroyed their city and took many of these Jews captive back to Babylon. Those Jews were captives in Babylon for 70 long years. And then God returned them to their land just like he had promised in Deuteronomy chapter 30, hundreds of years before. So when we get to the book of Nehemiah, we're going hundreds of years after what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we find that a lot has taken place. After Deuteronomy chapter 30, the Israelite people went into the promised land. They were faithful for a time, and then they turned to the gods of the people in those other nations. Now, God was long-suffering with the Israelite people many times, and yet they kept going back to those idols. They kept disobeying God, and God had finally had enough. And so in 721 BC, he sent the Assyrians into the northern part of the kingdom of Israel, called Israel and sometimes Ephraim in the Bible, And those people were destroyed, and many of those people were taken captives and scattered into other nations. Then, in about the year 605 or 606 BC, the Babylonians came and attacked the people of Judah and took many of those people captive. And, of course, they stayed in Babylonian captivity for those 70 years. Now, what we find in the book of Nehemiah is that Nehemiah is talking about the time after the Babylonian captivity when the Jews returned from Babylonian captivity to their homeland. Now, that was the fulfillment of Deuteronomy chapter 30. And we don't have to guess about that. We don't have to speculate about it because Nehemiah himself tells us that that's how it was fulfilled. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah is praying to God. And I want you to notice very carefully the words of his prayer here in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 8. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But, verse 9, but if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. So there's no question about what Nehemiah is referring to here. There's no question about what passage of Scripture he's talking about. He is talking about Deuteronomy chapter 30. So when anybody asks today about what the meaning of Deuteronomy chapter 30 is, because Nehemiah goes ahead and he tells us how that passage was fulfilled. Now this is Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 10. He says, now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed. You've already redeemed them, he says, by your great power and by your strong hand. Now, Nehemiah is talking about these Jews who have returned to their homeland, to the promised land, back to the land of Canaan that God had given their ancestors hundreds of years ago. God returned them. He restored them to that land. That's what Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 8 through 10 talk about, and especially verse 10, because he says, now these, that is these Jews that are here in this nation of Judah now, these are the servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. And so today, when people talk and speculate about the Jews going back to their homeland, that God is returning them to that land, and so that's kind of a sign of the end of time, well, they're really taking the Bible out of context, aren't they? Because Deuteronomy chapter 30 is shown by the Bible itself to have been fulfilled a long, long time ago. So we get back to that old saying that is so true, that the best interpreter of the Bible is the Bible, and the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself.